Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first time experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's runner's story started at Boston College on the doorstep of Heartbreak Hill and stretches across 34 years of marathoning. Think Timex watch, a snowy 20-miler, and a post-run rotisserie chicken. That first Boston lit the spark, and it never went out. We dig into the mental side that kept her going through seasons of life, a storm-soaked Boston in 2018, and a personal best in Berlin at 53 while running for her dad. She shares why journaling matters, how belief compounds, and how your why can change from race to race. Every marathon teaches a lesson. Today, we unpack the ones that shaped Stephanie's journey. Let's get into it. Please welcome Stephanie Dyer. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the show. Super excited to have you and break down. We're going to figure out how to break down 34 years of experience somehow today, but I'm super excited to hear about your journey. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. Love your podcast. I love it.
Oh, awesome. It's thank great. You so much. Well, cool. Well, we'd like to start from the beginning. So I guess 34 years ago or beyond that, where did running start for you? Where did movement start for you? How did we end up in this world?
Yes. I mean, if you had told me 34 years ago that I would still be running marathons and still madly in love with marathons, I don't think I would have believed you. It's just been a love affair that's lasted my whole life. But movement's always been a part of my life, part of my family. I have a very, you know, active life. I was a competitive tennis player in high school. And actually, running was not enjoyable for me at all. I actually hated it. Running was penance for slow feet on the court when I was a tennis player. So it really didn't have a very good connotation for me. And then, you know, fast forward, I remember Boston College being a freshman, and I gave it another try, and I had to give it some patience. Like I said, it was not love at first sight, but I gave patience to myself and patience to running. And I'm so glad I did. I just started out little by little to, you know, run off stress, run off beer. And I gradually got a little bit better. And I do remember my first 10-mile run, which was horrible. It was hot. It was miserable. It felt like an eternity. And I thought, how would I ever run more than this? Decided, I was very inspired when I was at Boston College, because Marathon Monday is such a big day.
Sure.
We watch, you know, you're literally at the base of Heartbreak Hill. It's just incredible. The electric feeling that still is there. Yeah. And I said to myself, well, I want to run this marathon. I just want to do this. So, my sister at the time, my older sister was a marathon runner, and she was doing it the same year. And at the time you could run Boston as a bandit. And so I had, you know, I had a bandit bib and everything, have a medal, but it's obviously not possible now, but I remember that so vividly. And that marathon experience, though I don't remember a lot of the details because it was a very long time ago, 34 years ago now, was love at first sight. I was hooked as soon as I finished, and even hobbling around campus the next day or two, I was just still full of bliss, and it's never gone away. I'm still chasing and loving it so much. So that's a little overview of where it started.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like you said, it was a while ago. So okay, if you don't remember all the details, but like, what do you remember about training or in running that first marathon? Like, what were some of the high points of training, or what were some of the low points of the race? Like, yeah, anything that you remember about the experience?
Coming from Florida, I remember the freezing training most of all.
Sure.
And no, we have so much now and before us for training. It's just amazing how the sport has grown, and how, you know, we have technology, we have Strava, we have Garmin, we have so much material, almost, I think, too much information out there sometimes. Right. And that's what I try to do, is kind of go back to the basics. But you still have to put in the reps and show up for yourself. All that's the same. But I remember one day in particular, my roommate dropped me off about 20 miles away from campus, not far from Hopkinton, where the race starts. And it was a snowy day. And she just was praying I'd get back. She dropped me off with average shoes, no special watch. I had a Timex watch. I had a quarter for a payphone, and no goos. We didn't have any of that. And I just had a will. I had no headphones, no music, no pop, nothing, right? Just my shoes, my body, my thoughts, my Gore-Tex running suit, and a Timex watch. That's it. And I made it back to campus. Thank God. But just the funniest story that I remember, it was at the end of that one particular run. I made it back and she welcomed me with a wish of anything that I could have, any food that I wanted. And she probably figured I'd go for ice cream. And I just, back then at Boston Market, it was called Boston Chicken. I said, I just want a chicken. I just am craving chicken. Obviously my body needed protein.
Yeah, right.
And so I listened to it. That was lesson number one, listen to your body. And so she took me to Boston Chicken and I didn't get any sides. I really wanted two rotisserie chickens, but I ordered one. I was too embarrassed to order two. And I ate the entire chicken.
Oh my gosh.
It was really gosh. Funny. So every time I see a rotisserie chicken, I think of probably my first 20-mile run ever. Forward to race day on Marathon Monday. It was completely love at first sight. As soon as I crossed that finish line, it was incredible. Bliss, even a couple of days later, hobbling up and down the stairs on campus. It was a feeling that is indescribable. It's electric. And of course, that marathon, I picked a tough marathon to run on my first try. But I had done training in the Newton Hills and so forth, but it's a tough race. But the crowd support and just the, you know, I think the first time you run a marathon, everything's obviously so new and so exciting and unknown. But I think one of the beautiful things is that it's like embracing all the new and embracing what's before you and taking in the crowd support and the runners around you. I mean, you just meet strangers and everyone's supporting everyone and we're all out there just trying to do our best. But I do remember that, loving that so much. I still love that. And seeing my roommates, they had made a big sign for me at the BC mark, and then, you know, finishing was just a feeling I'll never forget. It was truly incredible. So then it was no turning back. I was hooked, and I'm still hooked, and I'm still chasing personal bests. I'm constantly thinking of new goals, and it's been a lifetime love affair.
I love it.
I hope
that's
I'll
amazing.
Have for a very long time.
yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I guess I love to ask like ex-competitive athletes, right? Like, and I know tennis is a whole special level of competitiveness is from what I've heard. Yeah. So like, what do you feel like you learned after running that first marathon that was different from some of the lessons that you learned when you were in like playing competitive tennis, if that makes sense?
Oh, what a great question. I think, well, they're obviously two completely different sports. But I think I've learned so many lessons from running. I think endurance sports teaches you patience. Mm-hmm. It teaches you just that you can push through hard things when you really don't think you can.
Yeah.
It teaches you just how strong mentally we are. I think the most important and strongest muscle is between our ears. I truly believe that. I think that when we feel, it's like that David Goggins rule. When you feel like you're completely done, you're really only at 40%. And to really remember that. So I love how running has taught me to just push my boundaries and break barriers. I was getting fat slower in my 40s. And I thought, well, that's just the way it's going to be. And then I thought, well, I'm going to just see what I'm capable of. And I tracked getting faster. So I think, you know, not putting limitations on ourselves and all the things that I've learned from running, so many things, mostly mental, it translates to life. So I haven't played tennis in a while, actually. I left my racket, play a little pickleball, but I don't really play tennis anymore, but for fun with my kids. But I think that, I think running, because it's such an individual sport, trains our mind, and it's so introspective in such a beautiful way that it really translates to life. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's not, and like you said, like you learn something, or maybe we said this before we started recording, but you learn something from every single marathon. And so I think that, yes. that I'm sure a lot of these lessons that you're talking about has been something you've been able to develop over a long period of time. And I want to make sure we can highlight some of those experiences as well. So I guess after that first marathon, what's the next marathon that you remember being an impactful one for you? Either a lesson that you learned from like a positive experience or maybe a not so positive experience. But what was that like next lesson that you feel like you learned?
Well, I have a number of them.
Yeah.
I would say the next one that I remember being notable in chronologically was actually the LA Marathon. And that was, I think, in the year 2000, 2001. And I live in Florida, so I traveled across the country with my husband and at the time, two little ones. Mm. And I was trained just perfectly. I was poised for a fast race. I was ready to qualify for Boston again. I had taken a few years off having babies, and they were, I think, 2 and 4, 1 and 3. And I get over there, and I get sick. The day before the race, I started feeling it. And I woke up race morning and I should have stayed in bed. It was that kind of sick, just a head cold. And I was so discouraged. I was so upset. You know, so much goes into that training. And then also having taken that time off and going finally being so well trained, I think I was ready for like a 3:15 and it did not go very well. I did not qualify for Boston. And I think I did a 3:48, a lot slower. I ended up needing some oxygen at the end, but I was so determined to do it. I mean, there's sometimes you have to just say, no, you can't run, but I made it all the way through and it taught me. I remember telling my husband, I'm so disappointed, but I did it. And I feel like I have this invisible Wonder Woman cape. I feel like Superwoman because I did something so hard, and it was the first huge lesson of just how powerful our mind is and how that translates to our body physically. And so I do love the lesson that LA Marathon taught me that year.
Totally. Yeah. And I
think some marathons, you know, are just hard and they're great and they're kind of uneventfully and
That's
a great experience.
Yeah.
But some of them we carry with us, right?
Totally. Yeah. I was going to say I think that I just did an episode recently about training and thinking about like the harder the training effort runs or the ones that don't go your way are usually the ones that you're thinking about the most when you're actually running the marathon. I'm curious, like for you, when you're thinking about all of the marathons that you ran, are those tough ones the one that stand out to you in terms of like the lessons that you've learned for the most part?
Yes. And, you know, I would suggest to anyone just starting out, if I could go back in time, I would do a few things differently. And one of them is journaling. Journaling. I just started journaling maybe 10 years ago. I don't really remember. I think maybe my 20th marathon. I don't know. And I'm so glad I did because I still go back and I read and I'm like, oh gosh, I forgot I was feeling that and thinking that. And I draw from that for my next race. So you know, success leaves clues. And then tragedy and failures leave clues and they help us build. They're all stacked wins. They're all deposits in the bank. And I think that would be something I wish I had done is just written down things that worked. Things that didn't work.
Totally. Yeah. I think just like, documenting is huge. Whether you do it like in a physical journal, I think it's great because you probably are able to absorb a little bit more of what you say, but like even posting it online, like documenting your journey, I think is fantastic and it can help put a lot into perspective, especially like you said, when things get hard. So yeah, definitely resonate with that. Well, cool. So LA, that one was a tough one. What I guess if we're going chronological, I guess what was the next race where you feel like the pieces clicked together? Like you feel like, okay, the lessons that I learned from some of these races, I'm starting to understand. And like now they're clicking into place. If you remember which race that was.
Yeah, I could pick a few. I would say I could highlight a few really tough ones that were really, really rough that I learned so much from. But I think it's also fun to talk about the ones where all the stars align and everything goes great. So I would say, I don't know if this is chronological, but I'll go back to my PR was just at age 53, almost, I was weeks before my 54th birthday in Berlin. And my dad was actually gravely, gravely ill. He had been in the hospital for 18 days and he kept saying, "You're going, you're going." And I was exhausted. I really wasn't sure I was going to go until the day before I left. And I really channeled him and I ran for him. And that's another thing that I really think is important is knowing your why and why you're doing this, because that carries you through hard training days when you don't want to get up. It carries you through your race when things are tough, and it helps you not give pain a voice or give pain a power, because pain's coming. It's just all in how you react to it. But Berlin comes and I get over there. I've never been more exhausted. And I mean, I was prepared, but mentally I was just really, really and not in good shape. And I ran a PR. I ran a 3:16, and I was almost in disbelief at what had happened, but it taught me, wow, you know, we can really, really do more than we think we're capable of. And sometimes we do our best work when we least expect it. And when we think we're not going to, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
And I just think we have to remember another thing. I think you would agree, one of the biggest challenges of a first time marathoner is belief, self-belief. Like, can I really do this? And I'm here to say, yes, you can. You can. You just have to truly bring that belief and keep stacking your wins and trusting yourself. And that's part of marathon training though. You know, you're just stacking those long runs and getting time on your feet, and that belief grows.
Absolutely.
And it grows over time. Like, now I know, of course I can finish a marathon. I've done it. Well, you control the controllable. Sometimes, you know, I have a broken foot right now. I can't run a marathon, but you control what you can control, but that belief just gets stronger over time. So it's kind of trusting that in advance.
Totally. I love that. Yeah. And maybe since this one's a little bit more fresh in your mind, we can break it down a little bit more too. This race that you're talking about, you said Berlin, right? Was the one where you felt like the pieces really clicked.
Yes. And one of a number of them.
One of a few.
That was amazing. And the weather was great and it was sunny. And I think it was in the 50s and it's flat.
Beautiful.
So it's a great race to run fast, and PRs or, you know, world records are done on that course. So
yeah,
it was a really incredible experience running through that. The Brandenburg Gate is just, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard really awesome things about Berlin. It's one that's definitely on my bucket list for sure.
I guess you start and you finish at the same place, which is kind of cool too.
That's really cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I guess if we were breaking down that one a little bit more, you said that one was a tough one, but it was a very rewarding one. So what do you remember when the things were getting tough and you said that you've learned this like belief over time? Like, what were some of the things that you've said to yourself during that race, or that you continue to say to yourself now when things get hard, that help you continue to push forward?
Yeah, I have a few. I always have mantras, and you know, those change depending on where I am in my life, or, you know, how I'm doing and what I'm facing, whether I'm running with a kind of an injury or what, or whether the elements are really hard. But I think that there's a big difference between I can and I will. Like, I can is great, and I will is more masterful, and it gives you more agency to step into your power. And I think, again, it just, so much is what happens in between, because these years, because if you've done the reps and you've showed up for yourself and you've followed the plan and you're tracking, you're ready. You know, your body knows what to do. It's just connecting those two. So I think another thing that happened during that race that I kind of forget, my watch somehow picked up someone else's watch. And I thought that I was finished. I was like right almost at 26, and I kept thinking, okay, we're almost there. I was a whole mile off. So that last mile was real.
Oh my gosh.
Really, really, really hard. And I kind of just doubled down on my sheer will, and I just dug deeper and deeper. And it was the thrill of that, and kind of the satisfaction of knowing, okay, I just did that. It was great. I'm like capable of, I didn't think that was possible. So
yeah.
I really believe that nothing's impossible. I do believe that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. When you were feeling that, like when you were that last mile, I'm sure your stomach just dropped. Like, oh my gosh, I still have a whole mile to run.
Yes.
I'm sure it was insane. Yeah. When you were feeling that, I guess, like what were experiences were you pulling from? You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, I have another mile. Like what did that remind you of, either from training or from life? Like what was coming up?
Oh, great question. I ran, I don't know if you've heard rumblings of the 2018 Boston Marathon where
yes.
I was there, and that was a huge leap in my mental strength. And it was I had sheer dread that morning when we were starting the Boston Marathon 2018. It was 30 mile an hour headwinds. It was pouring rain. I mean pouring from the start. We're just soaked heavy with water everywhere. It's freezing. It was brutal. And we all just were in sheer dread. And we thought, well, there's only one way to the finish line, and that's straightforward. And so I just locked and loaded. I kind of went into business mode, and I just said, I'm doing this. It's not, I can, it's not, I don't want to. I didn't entertain any negative thoughts. I just told myself, all right, you're choosing confidence, you're choosing will, and you're choosing agency and power. And I did a lot of praying, which is also part of my, my faith is a big part of, my running journey. And I just, my will and my mindset just danced like a beautiful couple dancing on a ballroom floor. It was just, I just went for it, and it was a great race. But that probably, I drew on that strength that I knew. And once again, it kind of goes back to just being patient with yourself and knowing it's like anything else. Over time, the more we do something, the more confident we get. So
totally.
Running, distance running has a lot of patience involved, and kind of just have to wait on things. Kind of like life, you know, right? We're all more confident in our 40s or 30s than we were when we were teenagers, right? It's similar. Really?
Totally. No, 100%.
Life versus the endurance of running. There's so many life parallels, right?
I think that's why so many people like have so much longevity in this sport too, because it's not just like a one and done, a chapter in your life that you close and then you move on. I mean, for some people it is, but I feel like the majority of us are like, I can see this showing up in my everyday life. So I need to keep doing this because it's making me a better person day over day. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's such a big reason.
1000%. Like, who doesn't want to be better in life, right?
It
totally translates over. And it's like, it keeps you juiced up. I mean, that's the secret sauce of all of this. It's more of the pursuit. And yes, of course, the finish line is a satisfaction feeling like no other, but the true gift and the true growth is in that pursuit. It's getting to the start line, which is a privilege in of itself that I just recently went through.
Absolutely.
I think you're right. It just makes me better and makes for me better for the people in my life. And I love that. So,
absolutely.
And I think that mental health right now is a struggle for people. And I think that it is, for me, has been such an incredible, release when times are tough, and running is there when times are joyful too. It's always there.
Yeah.
For whatever you need.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the people in your life, and I was going to ask about this later, but I think it makes sense to maybe talk about here too. Like during this process, you hadn't had kids when you ran your first marathon. And then throughout your journey, you've had kids and you have a family. I know you mentioned I think you said you and your husband have been married for 31 years. If I read that right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Long time. Yeah.
A long time. But yeah, how has your relationship with running changed since you've like started a family? Because I'm sure that was a whole other layer on top of, you know, like your running journey as a whole.
Mm-hmm. It really has. There have been seasons, you know. Obviously I started out as a student, and then having young children, it was probably a time, I would say, that where I was a joyful participant. You know, I was trying to just get through motherhood and stay in shape or get back in shape postpartum and, you know, relieve stress and be outside with my children. I had a single baby jogger, then I had a double one, and then our third, we have a bit of a gap between the other two, but no one in my family likes to run, but I'm surrounded by golfers. I'm a golf mom and a running mom.
Yeah.
But I think that there was a time, there was a season. And that's the other thing, like we just said, running was there for me when I just wasn't necessarily doing marathons for a few years. And I was focusing on half marathons or no racing at all. And then in my 40s, and I learned so much from that too, and gained so much from that too. And then in my 40s, I was actually getting slower. And that's kind of when I referenced, I thought, you know, I really want to do this for a long time and let's see what I can do. So I tweaked some things, I changed some things and ended up getting faster. And now that I am in a different season of my life, I'm able to compete in my age group. So it's kind of fun for me to kind of always have something to chase.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, oh, okay, well, I did this. Maybe I can be competitive with the age group world championships, or maybe I can achieve this many marathons and just keep moving those finish lines in my own life to kind of keep me motivated and keep going. I think that's kind of fun. I just have fun with it, right? And
totally.
Like we said, some people just want one and done. I want to experience a marathon, get the banana, celebrate, and that's it. And that's incredible. But I think that it'll be a gift if I can run. And when I'm 90, I'd love that.
Yeah. I had somebody on towards the beginning of on this podcast where he was running up into his 80s, like 115 marathons or something like that. So there's definitely so much longevity that you can hit in the sport for sure.
That's cool. Right. We might not get faster when we're older, but just to be out there and just to experience the race, the training, and the people you meet along the way. It's pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Well, cool. And then you mentioned something about how you've been able to make like tweaks throughout your running journey to help mm-hmm. support some of these goals that you're setting for yourself. I guess what are some of the more impactful like changes that you've made in your running to either hit a time goal or hit a personal goal, anything like that? Mm-hmm.
Well, I learned how to train smarter. I think back, in fact, this is funny. I found my second marathon training schedule. It's on this piece
of
paper. It's 1992. This
That's
was it.
So cool that you have that still.
I found it randomly. I was not doing speed work. I was not dialed in on nutrition. I just was doing the reps and running and not really very intentional. But I did have youth on my side. And you can accomplish a marathon if you do the basics. That's perfectly great. But it's a lot more fun when you can train smarter and wiser. So what I did, what I learned how to do is just really dial in on my nutrition. It really does affect performance and, you know, clean eating, anti-inflammatory, and just really focusing on what my body needs, high protein and so forth. And also in more intentional training, meaning speed work, which I didn't do in my 20s and even my 30s. I highly recommend that if you want to get a little faster, a little more efficient. And it's kind of fun and it breaks things up. So I just have I still have a set schedule in my every week, even if I'm not training for a race, just to keep things going. Because for me, it's a lifestyle and I enjoy it. And so yes, intentional training that way. And then really focusing on my mindset. And mindset is not a one and done, check off the list. Okay, done. I'm going to have a strong mindset. Mindset is like a muscle in and of itself. And it's a daily practice. It's a constant. And I think if you can just add that mindset training into your life, I mean, wonders can happen in your running. So putting all that together and the e-course that I'm creating for marathon runners is a holistic approach. Like, I really think it's important to put all that together and not just focus on one, you know, the reps and the running. It's everything. Putting it all together makes it more efficient and more beautiful and more fun.
Totally. Yeah. And mm-hmm. you also said a little bit ago, like, about how the importance of finding your why in that process too, like knowing mm-hmm. finding your why and then being able to pull on that why when you're in those tougher moments. So I guess like over mm-hmm. time, how have you been able to develop your why? Has it changed? Do you constantly reevaluate it? Like what does that typically look like?
Yeah, it really has changed as I've changed and I'm in different seasons of my life. Like right now, my why is, you know, I want to stay, I love the competition of myself. I don't look at competition with other people, and I'm not an elitist, you know, runner or professional runner, but I have my own personal goals. So it's fun to achieve that. But I also think that it's really fun for I think it's important and fun for my children to see me going for something and pursuing something that I'm passionate about. I think it's going to make a difference in how I show up for them in my later years, being strong and focused on, you know, really being healthy and having longevity. I think running is a great tool to do that. So I want to be around and I want to be healthy for a long, long time. So that's one of my whys right now for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes it can not just be general, but like I said, that Berlin marathon, it was all about my dad. And, you know, another marathon might be, you know, I'm going through something right now. Sometimes we run for someone, or we're running to heal, we're running to grieve, we're running to process things, you know, we're running for joy, to celebrate something. You know, I'll be running Boston in April, and it'll be 35 years. Hopefully that will just be a pure, joyful, celebratory run. And I'm going to release outcomes and not worry about my time. I just want to have a lot of fun and kind of reflect on life with that race. Whereas,
totally,
you know, other races, I'm super dialed in and I want to achieve a time, and that's great too. So I think we just have to really think about what is driving us, right?
Yeah.
And what is going to help us dig and light that fire inside of us to motivate us. So it's kind of fun to think about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that you're breaking it down by race too, because I think that's something that people kind of like misconstrue about their why, so to speak, is they think that it needs to be this like overarching why for your entire life. But I do think it can be, and it sounds like from your experience too, like it can be race specific too. Like you could have a different why from race to race to race, yes. And maybe taking the course into account on like how difficult it's going to be or what you're going to face on the course, and that can change how you're approaching it. So yeah, it sounds like maybe it can be a little bit more like race specific as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think also what I've learned over time just from life is not to take myself too seriously. Like, obviously I'm really dialed in with my training and I enjoy that. I enjoy focusing and fine tuning and achieving that. But I also just, I think it's really important to have fun and not take ourselves too seriously. I think some people get so bogged down and put so much pressure on themselves. And I think you are less effective and efficient when you do that.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah. So
what are some, I just filmed an episode on this, like literally right before you and I hopped on. So it's top of mind for me right now, but what are some non-time goals that you set for yourself? Like maybe around fuel or how you're feeling, or like, what do you have any goals that you set for yourself that are not, you know, like time specific?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say some races I have, like right now in where I am, I think my runway is pretty small for running faster.
Yeah.
And I still obviously want to enjoy, but I think picking a race is sometimes flexible and sometimes not, but I think we need to fit running into our life and make it work for us. And I think it's really fun to, if you want to travel to a really beautiful destination, I really want to do Big Sur, because I think it would just be absolute sheer beauty. I think
I've heard
hard.
Amazing things but, about that
you know,
one. Yeah.
And I think, yeah. And I think that it's fun to think about the course or maybe the city. You know, I can't wait to go back to Chicago because my daughter lives there now and her husband. And so there are different reasons. Or you want to maybe go, like London was amazing, and you can tour around a particular city based on your race. And if you don't want to do international, you know, pick a beautiful, you know, a state that you've never been in. I think there are a variety of different reasons, but I think that location kind of for me is my next goal. I have a lot of different, I only have one more Abbott Marathon star is Tokyo, and I've never been to Japan. So that'll be really fun. But I also have some races that I just want to go and experience for the beauty of the area. But in terms of specifics of training, I think that, you know, sometimes I'll tweak things here and there to see if it works. Always have speed work as part of my training block. But recently, right before I broke my foot, I was adding in a really specific type of tempo run to see if that could tweak and help my time a little bit. So that would be time specific. If you're asking about non-time specific, but I did want to see how that translated. But I pretty much have all my nutrition dialed in. I know what works. I'm open to things that might be different, but I think that once you figure it out, to stay with what works is is really important.
Well, cool. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about, before we get to like some fun questions and things like that, but I wanted to talk a little bit about your injury, if you're comfortable with that, because I'm sure that's a lesson sure. that's happening in real time for you right now. But yeah, you want to maybe give some background on like what happened, how you were training for Chicago, mm-hmm. how everything was going for this most recent race.
Yeah. Yes, it actually gutted me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So Chicago was just 2 weeks ago, and I was also scheduled to race in New York next weekend for the Age Group World Championships, which I was so excited about. And so 4 days before Chicago, and I, by the way, my training block was chef's kiss. It was incredible. Yeah. I had one little niggle like towards the end, a little hamstring issue, and got that all worked out. I was so ready, so excited. I was ready to improve my time. I mean, everything just, you know, stars aligned with training. And 4 days before the race, on my 56th birthday, I'm literally walking in a parking lot to run an errand for my daughter. And I stepped on something the wrong way and rolled my foot and broke my fifth metatarsal. So I am in a boot for 6 to 8 weeks, and it gutted me. I have to be honest. I don't know what that says about me, but I was really, it was like the last hit on the pinata. I think I've just had a really wild few years, and it was a big stinger for me. So I know I'm going to try to do a lot of journaling, because I know there will be some purpose in it, but yeah. it's been hard, and I'm still in it right now. I did a lot of crying and went to Chicago anyway to cheer on my two amazing running buddies. And one of them had never run Chicago, so she wanted that star, and she did it, and it was incredible. And then my other running buddy ran the whole way with her son. It was great to cheer them on. And I had actually, and since college, I had never cheered on a marathon, and that's a gift. I mean, that's just so inspirational. I loved it. I would have rather been running instead of on crutches, but my husband and I were there and saw my daughter, my niece ran it. So I went, and then I obviously will not go to New York. You know, these things happen, and I will be back stronger. And I've made a list of all the marathons that I want to do. I think there are 30 of them that I've never done. So I have a very big list.
Yes.
And I go big and I go home. And so that helped me mentally. And just to know that this will heal, it's not the end of the world, but it just felt like it for a minute, and I had to let myself grieve, really. I mean, it's just a broken foot. I didn't have surgery. I mean, it's fine. When you have an injury and you're really struggling, just let yourself get it all out, because if you don't, it'll stay in there and it'll come out later. So, so I'm treating my recovery like I do training. I'm really trying to focus on my nutrition and increase protein. And I'm doing red light therapy, and my podiatrist has a electroshock therapy. And I'm trying to do all the things right so that I get back as quick as I can and really be smart about it, because I'm in this for the long run. And yeah, I mean, I've been injured before, but I've had a stress fracture. I've actually run on a stress fracture in New York. And yeah, it was nothing like this. I mean, I can't do anything but swim with a pool buoy. So it's a little maddening. I'm definitely
sure.
addicted to running, I admit, but it is what it is. And I just have to get through it and hopefully be an encouragement to people when they're going through something similar, because I guess empathy helps. I don't know. I'm really trying to make the most of it. So I'll be back.
Yeah.
And I have plans for next year. So.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you've got to be back. You've got 30 marathons to run, it sounds like.
I got things to do. I have a lot to do. And I actually have, so I mentioned that I'm in a house full of golfers. So my husband played D1 golf. He's still an incredible senior golfer. My son's a professional golfer. And then my daughter, my oldest daughter is a physical therapist. So she takes care of all of us. It's great. And then the baby is about to go play D1 golf at Florida. So we got all these golfers in the family, and I do not play at all. And there's a thing, I don't know if you've heard of this, where golfers want to shoot their age the older they get.
My boyfriend's a big golfer. I actually was reading your email before we started. I'm like, hey, babe, like her son's a professional golfer. He's all into it. But yes, I have heard of this before.
So I thought one day, I'm like, wow, well, why don't I just run my age? So my new goal is, it's an adventurous goal, but I'm going for it. So I'm at, well, it would have been 33. I've done 32 marathons. So I have a ways to go, but I want to run 70 marathons by the time I'm 70. And whether I get there or not, we'll see. But that's my next. I think it's fun to have something to strive for.
Totally.
So.
Totally. Yeah. And what would that be? I know I'm putting you on the spot, maybe with some math, but like, what is that? How many marathons a year would that be after you're healthy to
it's
run?
About 3 a year.
Okay.
And I've done 3 a year the last couple, 3 years. So it's doable. It really is. It's 3 a year, but not every year. So
got it.
I've got some play. And so I'm going to be watching my footing everywhere I go.
Yeah, right.
Bubble wrap myself, I guess. I don't know. But
yeah,
that's what I aspire to do.
That's cool. I love that. I talk about it all the time, but like, I think it's so great to have these massive goals and you think you learn from, especially like running your first marathon, that you learn it's such incremental change over time that really helps you accomplish these big goals. It's not like you're going to wake up tomorrow and run marathon number 70, you know, like there's some runway to get there. So I think, yeah, setting the big goal and then just trusting that you're going to take the steps along the way to get there is definitely the mindset shift that's made at least me feel a little bit more mature, so to speak, as a runner. It's like, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And you know, the other thing is for someone who's just starting out, I was like this, where I didn't want to say what my true goal was, because it's all about time. You know, are you want to finish under 4.5 hours or 4 hours or just not walk, whatever your goal is, put it out there, put it in writing, put it all over the place. So you're looking at it every day. You can't go past your refrigerator without seeing your goal in your bathroom, on the mirror. I put it everywhere. And don't be afraid to just say, you know what, this is what I want to do. Like, go for it. And if you don't achieve it, that's okay.
Absolutely.
It happens to everybody. But I believe if you speak it out there and it's part of like that manifestation and you're going to actually move quicker towards that goal if you're putting it in front of you and putting it out there and showing up for yourself. So don't be afraid to speak it.
100%.
That would be my other tip. But I was not good at that.
I'm still not good at that. I was actually about to say that my boyfriend the other day said something to me. You just reminded me of it, where he was like, I was talking about something that had to do with running, and he asked me, would you regret not trying the experience more than if you fell short of the experience, or something along those lines? And I was like, oh, 100%, I would regret not trying more than I would regret falling short. So I think that, yeah, that just plays into that. It's like, if you have a big goal and it's eating at you, or it's coming up for you, it's probably going to be better for you, like you said, to go for it and try it and put your best into it and fall short, than it is for you to not try at all and let that be like a big question mark in your life, you know?
That's such a great point. Such a good thing to remember. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. I am curious, because how many Bostons have you ran now? I think you put it in your email, but it's like over 10.
17. So I've been on a streak. I'm on it. This will be 12. I was supposed to run the bombing year. That's a whole nother story. And I was blocked from that, from the heavens, thank God. So, because I would have finished around that time. So I started my streak over again in 2015. So God willing, I'll get back this year. So yes, it's my favorite. I have so much history there. My best friend lives in Winchester, and I have one of my other best friends lives not too far in out of Boston, and it's such an electric race. It's phenomenal. So
that's why I wanted to get back to it. Since you went to Boston College, it seems like this is a big one for you. So I guess, what is it about Boston for you that keeps you coming back? Like, why is it special for you?
Well, it's the history, obviously, right? It's so iconic. It's so special. And yes, the qualifying is part of it, but you can now thankfully race Boston. If you fundraise, they raise millions and millions of dollars for so many great charities. So it just takes a little backhand work. But I think it's like the thrill of, you know, requalifying and being there for that piece of history. And the course is challenging. I love that. And since I've gotten to know it so well, it's like every time I go back now, I'm like, okay, how can I navigate this just a little bit better?
Sure.
You know, and all the old memories come flooding back. And you know, we have the same tradition at Stephanie's on Newberry afterwards. And I have my burger and champagne. And, you know, it's just so festive. It's such the crowd support in that race is unlike any other for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's incredible, you know, New York, London, Chicago, all the majors obviously are incredible for crowd support, but the whole entire race is lined with people and you can't even hear yourself think once you get close to that right on Hereford, left on Boylston, it's there's nothing like coming down that stretch. It's pretty special.
Yeah, that's very cool.
A lot of great memories in that city.
Yeah, I was going to ask if maybe you had one that stood out to you from Boston, like a specific memory that really, you know, stands out to you across all the 17 races that you ran.
Well, we've already talked about the 2018 race, which was a huge victory mindset wise. It definitely was a memorable race for all of us. But I would have to say most recently when my mom and dad, who are now almost 91 and 89, came 3 years ago, and they hadn't been to Boston in years and years, like 3 decades. And they were there at the finish line. And it just gave me a little more reason to run faster. And at the time, I just had a Boston best this year in 2025, but that year was to that point my best time. Mm-hmm. And I just was so excited to see them. And there they were right at the finish line. I can't even, like, makes me tear up thinking about it. So that was incredibly special. If you have a loved one or a running partner there at the end, it's pretty magical. So I love that. It was a rainy day and it was a great day. It was amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you really do underestimate how much of a boost you can get from just seeing someone you know, especially now that I've ran a world major, like being able with all of the crowds and then being able to see the one person that's yours, you're like,
and to be able to see them, it's incredible. Yes. The year my son, I was telling you about, he's for years, he couldn't come because of his golf commitments, but he was able to come maybe 5 years ago. He surprised me. I'll never forget that one.
Oh, that's equally, so sweet.
Literally equally incredible. And I saw him. He was on the bleachers right in front of the library. And I looked over and saw him and I just started bawling. And he's like, "Mom, are you okay?" I'm like, "It's just so much emotion." It was so amazing. Yeah. It means your support of your family and your loved ones or strangers means more than I think people realize. You pull on that energy from another human being, encouraging you, screaming for you. It's pretty special.
Yeah. Yeah. You underestimate how much that matters, you know, like it's especially for your first marathon. You have no idea how much that's going to carry you through. And I love to tell my mom just ran her first marathon. And I always love to tell her, like, when she did her 20-mile run by herself, I'm like, if you can run 20 miles all by yourself, you can run 26 miles with a crowd around you. They pull you through so much more than you think.
For sure. For sure. And, you know, you see so many inspirational people along the way. Like whether it's a blind runner or, you know, a wheelchair athlete. I mean, it's unbelievable. And we're all encouraging each other. Someone's walking, we're all screaming for that person and to encourage them to finish strong. And it's pretty beautiful, display of the human spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Very cool. I love running. I love talking about running.
Me too.
It just makes you feel good.
I really want to go run right now.
I know. I'm feeling good. Well, cool. Well, thank you for walking through all of that. That was. The joy that you have for running is so clear to me. That you've been able to find joy for so long in this sport, and I think it's inspiration for all of us who are maybe on the beginning of our running journeys that, like, there is so much good in the longevity of this sport. So, yeah, thank you for sharing all of that. And I love to ask for a piece of advice at the end of these episodes for maybe if you're thinking about somebody that's starting to train for their first marathon or about to run their first marathon, what's some advice that you might offer somebody like that?
I think that being a possibilist thinker is really, really important. And just do not put limitations on yourself. If I can do it, you can do it. And you can do it. You just need to bring your all. You know, show up for yourself, do the reps, do the training, bring your why, figure out why you're doing this, and belief, faith, just drowning out any negative feelings, any disbelief, and go for it. And then just see what happens in your life. It's pretty incredible. I have a lot of advice, but that would be what surfaces in my mind right now. Just
I love that.
Be unrealistic. Go for it.
Yeah. You never
Every
know.
Every day. Yes.
You never know.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes. And you're stronger than you think. I mean, we are all stronger than we think we are.
Absolutely.
And then yeah. you bring that, you know, that what you learn, like we said earlier, to life, and you have more strength for the next challenge of life because it's coming around the corner.
Yeah.
It's just the way yeah. life is. It's the human condition. So, and I think that's, for example, what will get me through this little season right now, and I'll be better yeah. for it. It's not fun, but I'll be better for it.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I would encourage awesome. People just to think beyond your wildest dreams, write it down and go for it.
I love it. Very cool. Awesome. Well, sweet. Well, I'd like to wrap up in, with some fun questions, and then we'll obviously hear what's coming up next for you, what you're thinking for this next season of running. But for the fun questions, I always like to give the disclaimer that fuel and shoes are your own journey. If you'll try everything and anything, like you said, it took you a minute to dial in fuel. It's like that for everybody. So trial and error is your best friend. And then for shoes, same thing. Go to your local running store, get your feet measured. That's all very individual for you. But for you, what have you liked for fuel over time?
I really have dialed in on, you mean for race day fuel, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. During a marathon. I love two different types of goos. I don't have a sensitive stomach, and I've figured out, you know, that I do really, really well with goos. And I have a specific, you know, espresso love that I particularly love. And I like the high octane too. So I also will have a mixture of the Yucan gels. They're a little big, so I can't really fit six of them in my pocket, but I start out with one. I've kind of played around with it, and over time I've added them, because, you know, remember back when I started, we had no goos. Yeah. And so I love the goos, Yucan, and I also, towards the end, maybe the last 6 miles, I do the high octane goos. They have a little more amino acids in them and a little more sodium. I've tried salt tablets, don't like them. So I've kind of figured that out. So that's typically what I do. And, afterwards, you know, just a recovery protein drink after my festive meal. Treat yourself to a meal.
Of course. Oh yeah. You got to get that reward meal. That's what we're thinking about from like mile 18 to the finish, is what that meal is going to be. Right. So for sure.
That's one of your whys, right? I run for that burger.
Exactly. Yep.
About the burger.
Yep.
So in shoes, you asked about shoes too. Actually, they're a pair behind me. I have run in ASICS for years and years. I'm making some changes because they, you know, these running companies sometimes change their shoes.
The formulas and shoes.
I'm testing out Brooks for my training shoe, but my racing shoe has been Nike since day one. I went from the Vaporfly to the Alphafly. So the new Alphafly Zoom X, I love. And the ones I have right now have flames on them. So
cute.
They're really fun to look down at. And, you know,
I love that.
They're fun. Yes. So those are the shoes that I really love. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Love it. Well, cool. And then let's talk about, what's coming up next for you. So I know you said you're obviously in this season, but what have you been thinking? What do you think this next chapter is going to look like for you?
Well, as soon as I can get back, I'll get back. I have signed up for a local marathon in February, so I can just roll out of bed and do it or not do it based on the weather. Sometimes it's hot here in Florida, even in February. So I have signed up for that. I have signed up for the Atlanta Marathon. Know nothing about it, but the timing was right in February. And so we'll see. I'll probably do one or the other. And then, of course, I'm already in for Boston 2026. I'll be celebrating 35 years of marathoning. And then I am also in for the age group world championships in Cape Town. I've never been to Africa.
Very cool.
And
very cool.
Sadly, they just had to cancel their marathon because of weather. So it should be the least windiest month. My heart goes out to everyone involved there and all those runners who couldn't run. That was really tough, but that would be my next play after Boston. That's mid May, and they're moving the marathon to May. And then in the fall, I'll likely go back to Chicago since our daughter's there. And I do love that race. I haven't really figured out fall completely yet, but that's my plan.
That's the plan. Very cool. Well, yeah, wishing you a
Excited.
speedy recovery. Hopefully we're able to
Thank
get back
you.
sooner than later. Like you said, though, the
Yes.
running comes in seasons, and hopefully this is just a season where you learn something and you move forward and you're better for it. So I'm rooting for
Yep.
you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. This is
Oh
fun.
my
I feel like we
gosh.
could just keep
Yes.
talking forever.
I know. That's how
There's so
I
much to talk about.
at
I have
the end of
so
these
many
episodes, I'm
thoughts
like,
in
I
my
can
head
keep
recently.
going.
I
but
know, and
yeah, but
especially when you ask a question about one particular marathon, it's like, gosh, which one do I choose? There's so
yes.
many.
Yes.
But that's the fun of it all. It's
Yes.
all a bucket of experiences.
Totally. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, hopefully we hit some of the big ones for you, but thank you again for
Yes.
coming on. This was really awesome to get to talk to you and learn about your story a little bit more. And yeah, we're wishing you the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at myfirstmarathonpod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at tay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.